Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here with another video, and today I'm going to be talking about one of the kind of all-time great roster lineups in Counter-Strike, NIP, and their decision, the collective decision, I suppose, for one of their core players to stand down after a ridiculous run of in excess of 4 years. And that's Freiburg is going to be leaving and is going to be replaced. Now, what that means for him, I guess we'll get to that in a moment. But let's just talk a little bit first off about this announcement and kind of what it means. So you can see here, this was the announcement from yesterday at the time of recording this. Talks about the great 87 and zero streak. I'm sure we'll never see that defeated in CS:GO. And just about, how they're bringing in a new player and welcome Rez to the fold, and thanks to Adam, everything that he's done. Now, look, I think we all know that NIP have been in this weird kind of funk for a while, right? I mean, let's just be honest about it. The NIP that was capable of truly competing and winning tournaments, it's not there anymore, and it hasn't been for a while. There's no getting away from that fact that if you were to reel off your favorites going into every tournament, NIP are even eclipsed by some, stranger teams. If you think that Optic, for example, have like picked up tournament wins, I don't know how long it'll be before we see that again with sort of the issues they've been having. But this was at a period when and NIP, you felt that they should be in contention. You felt that if they could just find that fifth, it would click, and they had enough experience and talent, and they'd go places. Well, the ridiculous thing is the whole team has really been flat, and this has been punctuated by, I think, an underperformance from Get Right recently, which it's not often you say that. I mean, again, he seems to be coming out of it, but when you think about people like Forrest underperforming, Get Right underperforming, Exist underperforming, yeah, this is unthinkable. And the whole team has just needed that injection of new lifeblood. Now, they thought they could do it with a core four and keep replacing that fifth person. It's always useful, isn't it? Because you can always make that fifth person the scapegoat and just put them out and try somebody else. And it's been that way ever since Fiflaren left. But now I think the reality of just how strong the competitive field are is creeping up with NIP. There's no room now for anybody that doesn't pull their weight all of the time. And you've got to have players that are capable of going big and putting a team on its back if people do underperform. Everyone that's competing for tournaments now has that in abundance. Everyone's capable of pulling out an amazing performance in the top five potential teams. And NIP didn't have that strength and depth anymore if we looked at current performances. Now, who's going to leave in a situation like this? Let's be real. Forrest and Get Right, their bankability, their brand, you keep them in the team. Get Right could be going Slayer every game. It wouldn't matter. He's Get Right. Forrest is Forrest. And there isn't a possibility that, as Forrest approaches 30, maybe he does decide to retire, maybe transition into another role. I think he'd be good on desks. I'd love to work with him at some point. Same with Get Right, who's proven he'll transition into that role. NIP players aren't going anywhere once they retire. They're going to stay in the game. They're going to be the people that do transition and become these great brand ambassadors. But right now, NIP can't afford to replace those two players. It's just unthinkable because they're the ones that attract sponsors. They're the ones that sell shirts. And I did see NIP CEO say, "Nobody is bigger than the team and we will make these changes." Let's be real. The only two people that were potentially on the chopping block from that core four, it was always going to be Exist and it was all Freiburg. Now, if we look at the performances that have happened lately, Freiburg is a player who's been in a decline for some time. He's on an upward trend at the moment within that sort of career-long decline. But that's not necessarily why he's got to be the guy who goes. Exist has had to take on this role again, which I think hampers NIP. I'm just going to say this. I like Richard. I think he's a cool guy. He's called Richard. I mean, so he's already got my vote immediately because super, super cool people throughout history generally tend to be called that. So exist. I've never rated him as an in-game leader. I'm sorry. I'm just gonna say that. When NIP were that dominant force, the game wasn't as tactically nuanced as it was. I mean, shit, people were arguing about introducing Molotovs because it was gonna ruin the strategic elements of the game. And he's infuriated me with map vetoes down the years, and I think that overall NIP they look to be turning the corner and getting back to being that real, dark horse, that the team you couldn't bet against. They were looking like they were getting back to that when they had Threat as the coach and the in-game leader making the calls. I think that was the optimal setup. The Valve ruling really kind of fucked them over in that sense. But exist in terms of his in-game leadership skills and his tactical reading of the game, I've never really been a fan. And I like just to say something good about him, okay, because I know guy, the guys will watch my videos and we do hang out at events, so I don't want him to think that I'm some two-faced asshole who's nice to him but actually thinks he's garbage. That's not true. I actually like it when he's not calling because you can see the difference in the player, right? When he's off the leash, Exist is a 20 plus kill player when he's not having to think about all the other facets of the game. Unfortunately, the way things are, Exist has to have this role, and because of that, Getright's had a go at in-game leading. Don't think he likes it. I think Forrest has tried it at some point, probably. They have to defer to Exist as long as this sort of lineup exists, if you know what I mean. So that factor there, coupled with Freiburg's overall decline, makes Freiburg the next guy on the chopping block. You think about how it kind of felt inevitable when Fiflaren went. Because there was so much pressure from the media. I mean, look, again, I don't want to dredge up old history and get people upset, but let's be real. There were elements within the press that basically had subverted their entire career to just applying pressure to Fiflaren. There was people who used to find ways to criticize him in everything they wrote. Statistical analysis of event. Oh, look, Fiflaren's at the bottom. It's time for NIP to kick Fiflaren. Oh, how effective is this gun? Well, it's effective on this player, but look how ineffective it is on Fiflaren. And every article and every theory craft and everything seemed to be about, let's put this pressure on Fiflaren. Now, yes, Fiflaren was a statistically weak link in the team, but I mean, the chemistry that they had and everything else, there's always going to be someone at the bottom of the pile. I mean, that's just the nature of a team game. And I always felt that people didn't look at what was going on in the team when they were criticizing Fiflaren, and that was literally Fiflaren was the guy. He'd been a star in CSS, a huge star, as big as CSS got. Fiflaren was up there. And played in CGS, that sort of thing. And when he came to NIP, he was just so happy to be playing with these guys. He'd been instrumental in setting the team up, that he ditched his ego. He checked his baggage because I'm playing with Forrest and Getright, and Exist, right? These are 1.6 beasts. There's no room for ego. And Fiflaren was the guy who would say, "Look, just you pick what you want. I'll take the shit. I'll take what's left over." And people were going, "Oh, well," again, just have a little bit of empathy. Imagine if you were playing in the worst position, your worst position on every map in a team. Your worst position, your worst role, every map, every game. How do you think you'd perform? You wouldn't, but you'd be doing a job for your team. The whole thing is just don't fuck up, right? Just don't be awful. And Fiflaren did that. And did have his games. I mean, it wasn't like he was permanently bad for the entirety of the team. It just wasn't true. So after Fiflaren goes, you've got this rotating fifth coming in, but ultimately we're all looking at Freiburg. I mean, we've all done it. We've all made jokes. I've made jokes at Adam's expense on a broadcast. Duncan certainly has. I'm sure we all have. I'm sure all the analysts have. And it's not very nice, but there's an element of truth to it that's unavoidable, and that was Freiburg was in decline. He was becoming that statistically weak link where even the new fifth that was coming in was outshining him, and people kind of felt the writing was on the wall for a while. Now, just before we sort of take a look at that overall decline where Freiburg is, I do want to say a few things about his early career and just how amazing he was, because I don't want that to kind of get lost in the noise as we sort of look at the next chapter for NIP. A lot of you know the story about how when Steele got fucked over by MTW, Steele stayed at my house. He had nowhere else to go. He was stranded in Europe. So he came to live with me for a while. And he had a setup in my living room. His, you know, PC was put on my dining table. I don't even think he bought a gaming chair. He used to play in one of my dining chairs. I mean, he used to break them all the time because he'd be rocking back and forth and shit. And they used to have these pickup games back when CSGO was early. It was like an IRC channel, and everybody played, and it measured your stats on IRC. And Freiburg, who had been like a good player in Counter-Strike Source towards the end, but he was a legend for different reasons. Everybody knew if you wanted to win a game, if you wanted to win the game, you just pick Freiburg. And everybody, all the pros said he was cheating. He has to be cheating. He cannot be this good at this game. It's not possible. He is cheating. He wasn't this good in Source. How's he got better in a new game? It makes no sense. He's cheating. People used to say it all the time. I used to hear Steele in my living room go, oh, well, you'd hear him on comms. You know, we fucking lost, haven't we? They've got Freiburg. Fucking cheating Freiburg. He'd be screaming, Freiburg. And I'd be watching these games behind him sometimes. And Adam was just fucking destroying everyone at the start of CSGO. Like, he was probably the best player in the world at some point. It's mad to think about it, but he was unreal. Like, he was the key to victory. He was the pug star in CSGO, in the very early CSGO. And then, of course, he nearly, you know, quite famously, nearly didn't even make it into the NIP lineup. I mean, he really had to play above himself. I think the story goes, and I'm sure the Swedes will correct me on this if I'm wrong, but it was like Fiflaren was in. I mean, he was locked in. And you had, obviously, Exist, Get Right, and Forest. And it was like they were looking around. And I think Delpan got talked about, maybe some other, you know, kind of Swedes with 1.6 tenure. And Fiflaren, who knew Freiburg and had played in teams with Freiburg, was like, oh, Adam really wants this. And like, and he's super good at the game right now. And they were kind of like, well, who the fuck is Freiburg, right? I mean, who the fuck is Freiburg? So Freiburg was ripping everybody to shreds at the start of the game. And the NIP guys, you know, these legends in 1.6, well, I mean, it wasn't even NIP at this point, right? They were like, yeah, he's in. Like, there's just no fucking doubt. Now, that kind of positioned the team in a very interesting fashion, because I mean, I was one of the pundits that thought, because this was a Source Engine game, it would take a while for the 1.6s to kind of fit in and develop. And it did for some. Didn't forget Right and Forest. And so when we had our first CSGO events, I was out there going, Very Games are going to win. Very Games with a French team that had transitioned from Source. I mean, Very Games had dominated Counter-Strike Source for 3 years. I mean, it was unbelievable the amount of trophies and tournaments they won. And people came close, but I mean, they were just monsters. So I felt they would dominate CSGO when we started getting a bit of a competitive scene. And it's quite interesting, because what changed it, like, the Swedes were good. The Swedes were good. No doubt about it, NIP were good. But what really set them apart in the very early tournaments was Freiburg. I mean, he was like nothing else you've ever seen in the game. You know, you'll often hear like, oh, the king of banana and this kind of thing. It wasn't just that. I mean, this was a guy who literally, for, you were talking for a good year here of Counter-Strike, could, and certainly for 6 months he was imperious. He could go anywhere on the map and kind of just make it work. He could just get entries for fun. I mean, he was worth his weight in gold, which was, you know, just a considerable boon for any team to have like a consistent, competent entry fragger in this new game. And that's what Freiburg represented. Just had it all, really. I mean, you know, it was a solid clutcher, very good, used to post very good numbers. But for me, it was always his entry fragging that really made him the linchpin of the team, because he was the guy who could just, okay, well, I've killed two. We've got the site, you know. And he made it look easy. And I guess you've got to remember contextually that the game didn't have a lot of elements that it does now. It was very different. It was a very different game. I urge you to go back, look at 2012, 2013, even some of 2014. You know, it's come a long way. Go look at that game and look how different it is compared to where we're at now. And Freiburg was an essential component of the most successful team. He won all the early MVP awards. I mean, you know, he won it in Valencia, for example, and was just a beast. I mean, an absolute beast. When you're that good, the only way kind of is down, really. And it was inevitable that everybody else would start catching up. We just didn't know how long. You know, NIP were the big boys, because and they reaped the rewards. They treated it seriously. Everybody in that team worked so hard. They trained so hard. 1.6 legends coming in, treating CSGO with reverence, while all the other 1.6 legends were trying to get brownie points with the 1.6 fans by going on HLTV and going, "Oh, the game is bad. 1.6 will never die," and all this nonsense that we all knew wasn't true in the industry. And they treated the game with the respect it deserves. NIP were the first salaried team with a big sponsor and an annual budget. This team deserved to be the best. They were the trendsetters. Everybody else had to follow their lead. I mean, you know. So for Freiburg to be the standout player in a team like that, I mean, there's people who will never get to do that in their career. So people remembering the Freiburg we kind of got now. Like, I mean, whatever. It is what it is. He's a player in decline and a team in decline. I mean, that's sports, right? But nobody, you know, 95% of pro players won't get to the level he was at, and at that time, very few people get to say they're the difference maker in the best team in the world over the course of their career. So, you know, I think it's only fair that we do kind of focus a little bit on the decline. Like, I don't want to be super negative about it. But, you know, because I think Freiburg is still going to have a career. I don't think this is retirement by any stretch of the imagination. I think he sacrificed too much to this game to get out at 25, right? Especially when you're looking over and you still see these veterans doing something. And I'll preface this decline by telling you a little anecdote about Freiburg, because me and Adam are close. No, that's no secret. We hang out a lot. We drink a lot. We've spent a lot of time down the years going to parties and hanging out. And he used to get infuriated, I think, by some of the things we'd say on the analysis desk. He really had an issue with kind of how statistics were presented in the game. And I agree with him to a certain extent. He used to say this fixation we have on kills, death, even damage to a certain degree, will never be able to accurately assess a player's contribution to the team. He used an example where he said, you know, there were some strategic setups where, for example, his entire job for one round was to watch a doorway and flash at a certain time period. Now, if you're stood there setting up to do that and somebody just pushes dry and kills you, that's the one in the death column, right? But you've done your job. You've followed the instruction to the letter. And maybe this happens a few rounds. Maybe they've done their homework. Maybe they've anti-strategy you. Maybe this tactic can't work. And the part of the tactic, the component of the tactic they're focusing on is what you're doing. They've got your number. So they're just going to come and fuck you up repeatedly. How do you get out of that without saying to your tactician, saying to your captain, nah, I'm worried about my score, so we got to freestyle this because I've got to get some kills. You know, you can't say that in a professional team. A player who says that in a professional team doesn't belong in a professional team. So he used to say, like, ah, the kills and the deaths, and people only focus on that shit and they don't know all the other work that I do. And yeah, he's probably right. I'm sure every pro player has that frustration at some point. But when it comes down to just the nickels and dimes of the game, just the little components of it, you know when a player who used to just run up, run into a site dry and just get 2 1-tap bullet headshots and is actually now struggling to win 1v1 duels, you know that that player is in a decline. I mean, you know, so you can't dress it up. Now, if we just have a look as well at this, the kind of overall stats in his career, I wanted to pick out a few little moments from just recently because it does sort of come at a bad time. I think he was actually kind of turning the corner and was on an upward trajectory after hitting absolute career rock bottom. If you just have a look at these on, again, HLTV, it's a site I'm sure you've heard of. This is the kind of graph of his career. And you can see this is the, you know, these early days, like there it is, the peak, you know, just an absolute monster in you know, that 2013 era. This is where Freiburg was just the best. But I mean, to even be in this part, you know, to have that over one rating is really, really good. And you can see he had this little spike again just as they were going in, you know, to the major win in 2014 and whatnot. And as you go across, I mean, you know, look, that's a very easy graph to read. But you can still see that he always had this kind of like little spike, little peak potential. And what's happened, honestly, is when NIP had that brief flurry of kind of coming back and being a threat again, no pun intended, sorry, you can see he started to drop off quite badly. And then he's hit an absolute career nadir at this point in 2017. You know, this is probably where people think he is right now. And it's not true because he's back up. You know, he started to climb. He actually started putting in good performances. I don't know if he knew he was getting kicked, actually. I don't know. Maybe there was some relief of pressure. I don't know if it's because NIP are getting a little bit better or whatnot. But I just wanted to highlight, like, the key thing with Freiburg is Freiburg would do what he was told. He would fit into a system. And we know NIP have this rigid tactical approach to the game that's a little bit outdated, honestly. I don't think their tactics are as dynamic as, you know, you look at what FaZe are doing, you look at what Astralis are doing, right? I mean, these are teams that have these like incredibly bold, dynamic shot callers. And, you know, there's other examples, but NIP don't have that. They're kind of playing a style that's a little bit anachronistic and relying on talent and experience to get them through the hard yards. And Freiburg fits into that, and I always feel that Adam's a more expressive player. He needs to be off the leash, he needs to be unchained. And yes, he's never going to be that player that we saw in 2012, 2013 again. I honestly don't think that's going to happen, as much as I love the guy and would love that to be true. But the key thing about Adam is when he goes off, he wins you a game. He still does that. You know, it just doesn't happen all that often, but like they've got some big results here, and there's one thing that typifies the big results, and that is Adam has a big performance. You look at, for example, I mean, they've been mauling Virtus Pro recently. I mean, that's not the claim to fame it used to be, but Adam's really been a bit of a nemesis to those guys. He's pulled out big performances. You think about the improvements Mouse Sports have made. Again, you know, Adam comes in the map that they win in a recent series. He's the difference maker. He's the top fragger. This is all recent. I mean, this is like the last month. I mean, these are super solid performances, just going on statistics and, you know, kill to death and damage. Again, like I say, there's another monstrous performance against Virtus Pro. He's pulled, you know, Na'Vi, who were in a slump. You know, he goes 24 in a map they lose and 20 in a map they don't. I thought Adam was getting back to it. I think in the space that was being created by other people kind of slipping down the pecking order, I think Adam was coming back. And honestly, the reason he's out is because something has to change for NIP. It just wasn't feasible anymore. I think with Rez, I don't even know if they've got the best Swedish option that was out there, honestly, you know, let alone the best option they could have had. But certainly, I think it was clear that Freiburg kind of had to go. He had to be the one to go for all the reasons I've discussed here. Now, I'm hoping that because we've got all this wonderful investment and new teams, new leagues, new opportunities, new broadcasts, you know, there's money out there. I certainly hope Freiburg, because I know NIP, they've said he's still contracted with us. He can be a streamer, he can be whatever he wants. They might find a job for him within the organization, but I know Adam, and I know he wants to play, and I know he wants to be in the team. And I think it'd be kind of a little bit, obviously, sad to leave a team after 4 years. But he'll also be really excited at the prospect of going back to square one and building up something new. He's always had that attitude. He's never been afraid of a challenge. So I think he'll be keen to get into a team, and I'm hoping somebody's going to pick him up, because I'm telling you, he will still do a job at the pro level. All the bullshit aside, all of the, you know, how he's a meme and thank Mr. Freiburg and all these jokes at his expense, the reality is, he is still a very competent player and somebody that has a wealth of experience that very few people do, right? So he can fit into a team. You know, it might be a tier two team. It might be, but he would be a star in a tier two team. I mean, an unbelievable star. And I think he would shine at that level of Counter-Strike. If he goes into a tier one team, it's role dependent. Again, I like to see him get back to the good old days of just, hey, Adam, do you want to just run somewhere and see if you can kill some people? I'd like to see that style of play make a comeback. But I think we all know in the current meta, entry fragging's a fucking nightmare. I mean, the sort of two roles have been kind of deeply affected, and that's like the lurker and the entry fragger, those traditional roles within a team. You've really got to have a sort of different approach to those positions, or just have an amazing game and an amazing talent to really make it work. So I don't know what the future will hold for Adam, honestly. I think there'll be opportunities, and I certainly hope he takes one of them. Anyway, just to leave you with a story, which I'm sure Adam will like, because I mean, like you say, I love the guy, and we've been drinking for many years. There was this one event, I think it was in Denmark. We went to this fucking karaoke bar and we got fucking shit hammered. I mean, we were fucked. I can't remember what happened. I think Adam was in like 30p or some fucking Swedish mix at the time, I don't know. Anyway, he got so fucked up, and then it was a karaoke bar, so we picked him a song, and I don't know, it was like Journey, or, you know, Don't Stop Believing, or I don't know. It was something, right? We picked it up, and we said, oh, Adam, yo, your song's come up. Now, what Adam wanted to sing was In the Summer of 69, and he got up on stage, and in his brain, he thought that's what he was going to sing. So this tune was going off. It wasn't his song. It wasn't anything he said, and he was just screaming at them like, In the Summer of 69. Wrecked out his mind. The entire pro Counter-Strike scene at that event just fucking howling with laughter at him. I think he did the full thing without even realizing. And I think that's like a wonderful kind of metaphor for, you know, what a mold-breaking player he was. You know, how he defied expectations and kind of just did his own thing. And I certainly hope we get to see more of him, because he's an awesome guy and has that potential still. You know, a lot of years left in his career if he wants to pursue it. So for me, as somebody who's known him a long time and, you know, hopes to see him again on the road, thank Mr. Freiberg. May all my one taps be headshots. All right, well, anyway, those are my thoughts on it. All the best, Adam, in the future. Thanks for watching the video. Like, comment, and subscribe. And I will see you on the next one. Take care.